All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Let's Talk Rockets, episode number 42 today. Beautiful day here in Southwest Florida, Tuesday, July 25th, 6:20 Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about Elprin and Şengün today. I think actually we're just going to go through every single player on the Houston Rockets roster for the next month or so and just kind of talk about, you know, I hate the word expectations, but just a preview is a better word. Some things I want to see, some things, you know, we are looking to see. Oh, you get the gist here. We're talking Elprin Şengün's player preview, player outlook for this upcoming season in today's Let's Talk Rockets. Thank you for tuning in today. Be sure to, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the like button, subscribe if you like Daily Rockets content. As always, these episodes are available on Apple and Spotify. We're over 100 listeners over there, so appreciate you guys. The link's down below, or type in Let's Talk Rockets. And yeah, if you're listening, you know, go ahead, leave a five-star review. We're trying to climb the rankings in the Rocket podcast sphere, but we have to first get on those rankings, and that goes a long way. So we got JD here in the chat. What's up, JD? What do you think about Elprin's form when shooting the three ball? So three-point shooting is the name of the game for me personally with Elprin Şengün taking that next step. We saw Elprin Şengün come into the NBA, and he was taking in his rookie season. And keep in mind, man, he played 20 minutes a night in his rookie season. We saw him take 1.5 threes a night, 24.8% clip. Not a good statistic. We saw improvement statistically this past season, 33.3% from downtown. However, huge decrease in output, just 0.8 threes per game. And the season splits don't really do anything different. You know, 0.7 threes per game in the first half of the season, 0.9 threes per game in the last half. Not even maybe something to note. He came into the season taking almost 2 threes a game, 30% from downtown. And then the last 4 games of the regular season in April, he took 1.5 threes per game and made 50% of them. So it's just something to keep in mind that we saw him start the season taking some threes, end the season taking some threes. Obviously, it's not his strongest skill suit. So on a podcast, I do have it. The new Twitter profile logo is so weird. What's up to my man Brisk? The Padres are shit in the bed. Yeah, you guys are. Sorry to hear that, but what's up, Brisk? How you doing? I haven't listened to this podcast, but Elprin Şengün went on the Berdot and Will show, and he said, I want to take more shots from three. That's my goal. He also mentioned improving defense as his primary focus, but noted it was a team effort to get it done. So those are the two things Elprin Şengün is looking for this upcoming season. More threes, better defense. Last season as a whole, Elprin Şengün did a great job. He had a great season, 14.8 points, 9 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.9 blocks, shot a very efficient 55.3% from the field. We saw him take 3.5 more shots a night compared to his rookie season. We saw his minute total go up 8 total minutes from 20.7 to 28.9. And one of the best parts about Şengün being, you know, only 20 years old. Oh, it's Şengün's birthday. Happy birthday, Elprin Şengün, July 25th. As I was saying, he's 20 years old. I remembered his birthday is right before mine. It's the day before mine. So happy birthday to Elprin Şengün. I wish I could say this was on purpose, but yeah. Longevity. Elprin Şengün does not get injured. He is reliable as they come. Wonder where he ranked in centers who took and made threes. That's a good question. The thing is with Şengün taking threes, like I know Şengün can shoot. Teams know he can't really shoot. And teams take the risk if Şengün's open at like the top of the key behind the three-point line, you know, and he's open. Usually actually what happens is he's usually wide open and he doesn't take the three and, you know, just kind of orchestrates the offense. Guys are moving around. He's setting picks at the top of the key. But for Şengün to take his game to the next level, a three-point shot, you know, he doesn't need like a lockdown sharpshooter badge, but he definitely needs to get that 3-point up to respectable. The statistics respectable, 33% on a little less than a 3 per game, but it's not at a clip where you're like going to leave him open. Like, you're not leaving Nikola Jokic open. Obviously, Şengün gets compared to Jokic a lot. He gets compared to Sabonis a lot. I think he's way more closer to Jokic than Sabonis. Interesting. Rookie season, Nikola Jokic was extremely like Alperen Şengün. Only 21.7 minutes a night, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2.5 assists. That's very similar to what Şengün put up. 9.6 points, 5.5 rebounds, basically like 10 and 5.5, 2.6 assists, like pretty much identical rookie seasons. Second year, Jokic, 16.7, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. We start to see, increase in rebounds and an increase in assists. But he's only taking one or two threes. Rookie season, Jokic took one three a night at 33%, like Şengün last season. Second season, two threes a night at 32.5%. Then third year, Jokic, 18.5 points, 10.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3.7 threes a night at a 40% clip. And we didn't really see a huge point increase from Jokic. Like, this past season, Jokic only took 2.2 threes a night. So Şengün doesn't, like I said, Şengün doesn't need to be this crazy threat from downtown. We're talking like, I think the money number for Şengün threes a game this year, future years for his career would be 3 to 5 threes a night, making at least 35%. 35% on 3 to 5 threes a night, would increase Şengün to, right out of the gate, probably closer to 20 points per game. So I do think it is something to note, just because people like to look, when we're talking statistics, people like to look at only points, especially because Jokic just put up 25, 12, and 10 in a season and didn't win MVP, which is crazy. But I do think it is something to note that Jokic didn't become an over 20-point per game scorer. He was a 20-point per game scorer in his fourth and fifth season, but it wasn't all the way until his sixth season, first MVP year, where he put up more than 20, and he put up 20.6. So another thing to keep in mind here, with these young players, there's these certain expectations that they need to put up these crazy statistics. Jalen Green needs to put up close to 30. No, hold on. Şengün was 20 last season. He's still an extremely young player. These guys need time to mature and elevate their games, and especially big men. Big men progress slower than your average guard or wing in the NBA, all right? Another thing that I will say that I've said all summer, I am so glad. And guys, throw in some chats down below. What's up, Thomas? This is a bib. This is just a homemade makeshift tank here. What's up, Thomas? I'm so glad they didn't get Brook Lopez. And I know this isn't a good comparison, but like, let's go back 3 drafts to OKC when they took Chet Holmgren. But we're going to use Jalen Green. Let's say Jalen Green was in last year's draft class, in the 2022 draft class. It would be like OKC taking, to me, and I know this is a little bit dramatic, the Rockets signing Brook Lopez in free agency this past season with Şengün having such a nice sophomore campaign. What's up, Jorge? Would be like, to me, the Thunder last season drafting Jalen Green while having Shea on their team. Now, I know it's different because Brook Lopez has won a championship before. He's, almost in his 40s. And Jalen Green, as a rookie, like, rookies aren't going to come in and help win immediately. But, like, hopefully you kind of get what I'm saying. Maybe signing a guard instead. And OKC is not the best comparison, but you know what I'm saying. Like, the thought is you want your core, and then you want to bring in veterans who are going to help elevate your team. But you don't want to bring in veterans that are going to hinder your development of your young core, right? Like, it would make no sense for us to have gone and signed, or traded for Bradley Beal. Like, the Rockets trade for Bradley Beal. You'd look at it, you'd be like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, not as dramatic if they got Brook Lopez, because you could probably make it fit. You could probably put Şengün at four and Brook at five, but then we're going to get into hindering Jabari's development. Like, Şengün was 20 last season. He went 15 points, almost 10 rebounds, almost five assists. Like, let's just give him the keys for one more season, because keep in mind, the Rockets did not give him the keys to start this past season. It was Mr. Bruno Fernando, as Jorge and I know, and we all know, but Jorge and I were at the Rockets home opener when Bruno Fernando started the basketball game over Elbrin Şengün and immediately got injured, and that experiment was done. But Bruno Fernando, the thought process was he fits our run-and-gun offense better than Elbrin Şengün. We saw so many times Şengün getting the bench later in games, when Silas was like, this isn't the fit. And it's like, fuck, man, you know? Ugh. And I also want to say one thing real quick on Şengün or Jokic last season. And because I had this belief. I had the belief that Nikola Jokic was not going to win a championship. The Nuggets were not going to win a championship last season because they did not have a quote-unquote rim protector. Their backup big was DeAndre fucking Jordan and Thomas Bryant, TB41. And Aaron Gordon, the versatile big man that he is, the versatile player that he is, and just the Nuggets defense in general helping, and Jokic being able to just hold his own. You don't need Şengün. I don't need Şengün to be a 3.5 block per game guy, right? I don't need him to take five threes a night. I don't need him to do all these crazy things. Continuing to improve your defense, all aspects of game, but continue to add to your bag, aka, i.e., the 3-point shot, right? But I've said this time and time again. I think Jabari Smith at the four and Elbrin Şengün at the five, because of the switchability specifically on the offensive side of things and on the defensive side as well, I think it is a really good fit. I think it's a really, really good fit if these guys pan out to be stars. I mean, there's a lot of versatility there with Jabari Smith Jr. just as a prospect, as we know. What's up, J-Dog? You think he'll have a bigger role in offense with so many ball-dominant players now? You know, I know. Because even though Kevin was our point guard last season, Şengün was we wanted a bigger role in the offense. No, I don't. You know, I don't think so. I know Fred likes the ball. I know, like, Fred and Brooks like taking their shots, and, you know, Jalen's going to take a lot of shots as well. We want Jabari getting shots up. We want our guys to get shots up, but, you know, the cream rises to the top always. And I think Şengün's good enough where that won't be a problem. I think we specifically crafted players who tick multiple boxes of what we're looking for. So the main one's defense, right? And the second one's three-point shooting. We want more defense. We want three-point shooting, specifically at the wings, the wing position, the guard position, because we want a more solidified point guard. We want more solidified wing position, more two-way guys. But the point is, Dylan Brooks, one of the concerns he had playing with Memphis was, you know, how much off-ball he was. But Fred and Dylan can play off of ball. And Jalen Green can definitely play off ball. And all these guys can play off ball. That I don't think it'll be an issue, especially if Şengün, I mean, he's working. You know he's in the lab right now. We've seen him in the lab all summer. I feel really confident that he's going to have a respectable three-point shot next season. And that would go a long way with just, you know, maintaining your role in the offense. Another really big reason I'm happy that the Rockets didn't go after Brook Lopez is we're not ready to win right now, right? We want to establish winning. We want to establish a winning culture. But we're not going to win the NBA Finals this upcoming season, right? Unless, like, crazy things happen. Like, Şengün wins most improved. Jalen Green establishes himself as a superstar. You know, our new signings are big, right? Like, you know, we're not projected to win the NBA Finals. So that's why I'm so glad you didn't get Brooks. So now let's see, how's the fit with Şengün? We know Şengün can play, but how's he fit with the new additions? How does he fit with Fred? You know, how does he fit with Dylan Brooks? you know, what's the defense? Can he, you know, did he develop a three-point shot? What are the statistics looking like? What's the eye test looking like? Is Elprin Shangun a part of our future? If the answer is yes, awesome. Extend him. If it's not, okay. Now you know. Now you can go out there and get a big guy, whether that's free agency or the draft or both, right? So glad they didn't go for Brook Lopez. I think that would have been such a big mistake. But maybe I'm wrong. He'll probably average about 6 assists, maybe more next season. That would be awesome. 20 and 10. I would love to come back to Houston for the season opener. I know. I've been trying to get to Houston all summer for Swaggy, but our schedules keep not working. And then he said, like, pull up next week, but I'm going back home for, like, chunk of time, like a week, in a week. Hopefully, man. I don't know why I wouldn't. I'm going to the Packers-Bears home opener, as I do every Packers at Bears game. And I know that's the first week of the season, but that's in September. So I don't have an October schedule, so it's wide open. I can't wait till we smash the Spurs and Victor in Detroit versus Houston. Rivalries can be insane. Yeah, that lost some steam last year with Cade's injury. As we know, Jalen Green flexing on Cade Cunningham in his third NBA game. No, that wasn't that his first NBA game that he flexed on Cade? Didn't we open the season up against Detroit in his rookie season? His third game was a 30-point game against, I believe, the Lakers. Right? I don't know. It's crazy how much things change, man. When I first started covering the Rockets, like Russell Westbrook and James Harden. It's crazy. 20 and 10. Southside still dripping. That is a great name. Hit the like button, guys. Let's get some more Rocket fans in here. And if you have a podcast platform that you like to use, Spotify, Apple, the link's down below, or type in Let's Talk Rockets. It would be great to at least get a follow if you're ever, you know, on the road at the gym, coming back from work, whatever it is, and you want to listen to these pretty much daily on streaming platforms. I appreciate that. We got a question here from Thomas for our audio listeners. What do you think Udoka's vision for Shangun is? I mean, you got to think, like, the ideal hope would be some type of situation similar to Jokic. I think the Nuggets built a blueprint. And one thing I really like about the Nuggets, too, is how homegrown they are. How many of these guys on that championship team they drafted and they stuck with. You know, it's something you see in coaching all the time. Coaches get fired. Apparently, if the Celtics lost game 4, Azula would have been canned. And now he's, you know, what if the Celtics win the championship next season? What's his vision for him? I'm sure he kind of wants to see that. You know, it's hard to really know what you have in Shangun because our offense last season was dysfunctional and it didn't make a lot of sense. And Shangun was a guy who got the short end of the stick all the time. But you want a versatile player, and he's extremely versatile on offense. So let's make him a part of the offense. Let's utilize his passing ability. Let's utilize his rebounding ability. And obviously his scoring ability defensively. Let's see where he is when camps begin in 3 months. We'll see, you know, what he worked on in the summer and how it's translating to his game. And we'll go from there. You know, are we going to need to, and a lot of it's going to be just game planning against specific teams and who their players are, just scheming and getting the blueprint ready. So, a lot of these Rocket players, you know, we just kind of want to see how they fit in a more winning culture. You know, is Shangun impacting wins? Is it not really noticeable? Is he leading to losses? Is his defense leading to losses? Is his lack of 3-point shooting leading to some bad situations? You know, it's a big evaluation. I think this is a big evaluation year for Ime, just because it's like, all right, I'm building a winning culture. Who's a part of it? And these Rocket guys are ready to work, man. They're just so ready to work. They're workhorses. And that means they're very coachable. So whatever Ime wants Şengün to do, Şengün's going to do it. And yeah, you know, he's such a – Ime's a skilled coach. We got Thomason. I hope Udoka gives him the allowance to make errors, learn, and grow. And we want that with all of our players, you know, not only our young core, but even just, you know, the new veteran additions. But that's why they're veteran additions. But yeah, all of them, you know, even Jalen Green. I know he's entering year three, and you're kind of hoping for that year three breakout. But at the same time, very young players, you know, growing as basketball players, obviously, but they're growing as people too. And yeah, just getting that culture going. So, I mean, that's really it for today. I mean, we don't have too much trying to make a Buccaneers video. I'm a little worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big birthday, the big 2-4. So probably no stream tomorrow. Apologize. But we'll be back here most likely on Thursday. And yeah, that's it, man. Hit the like button, hit that sub button, available on streaming platforms, links down below. But thank you guys for listening or watching or however you're consuming this live stream. Your support makes these happen. So that's it. Peace.